listening to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder and Rhett Warner on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Our guest hotline is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Come on in, enjoy game day. Specials for both. You got your hockey, you got your football. There's going to be specials. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, pickup delivery also available. It's Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. Off day for the Calgary Flames. They will be spectators watching tonight as the Edmonton Oilers, their next opponent, takes on the Florida Panthers. Panthers rolled through a couple nights ago. Flames victorious 5-1. And it happens every once in a while when the team, your favorite team, the team in your city, the team, whatever, they kind of become, for one day at least, the main focus of the news cycle of the media around the league. And that is certainly what happened with the Oilers the other day between the Jim Mathis. And we talked with Mark Spector yesterday on the show about it. It's fun when your player, you maybe your star, your captain, your best player is going off at an incredible rate. And everyone's, well, man, this player, this team, look out for this. I wonder who they're going to add at the deadline. I wonder what it's going to look like. And then there's this side where the team is struggling and the goaltending is garbage. And then one of the reporters, anyway, and I've listened to it so many times because it's being force fed. It was really nothing. The pissy was probably overboard. It was really nothing. But underneath the it all, there is a frustration that you cannot deny. And I know Elliot was on with Tim and Friends yesterday, and it was 2 years ago. They brought up an old clip, and I almost threw Elliot under the bus a little bit. But it's like 2 years ago, 2019, you had a hit talking about how the clock is running, and it's probably 2 years now for Connor McDavid to decide if this is what he wants to be part of or if he wants to maybe try something else. And Elliot says, well, at the time, you know, it was kind of the way it feel. I don't know if that's the case, but if this team does miss the playoffs, it does kind of feel like all bets are off. And at this point of the season where they sit, we talked about it's all about winning percentage. They are a hair over 500, and no one suspected they would be there. They need to start winning some hockey games here, and this is going to be one. Don't get embarrassed, because how much worse could it get for the Oilers right now?
Every loss is a new low, it feels like, when you consider they were, what, 16-5 to start?
16-5.
Like, that's, you should be able to play, what, 500 hockey from there and make the playoffs?
You look at the Flames, they weren't quite at that clip, but they had a great start, and then even with their swoon over the last little bit, they've been able to sustain it a little bit. That has not been the case for the Oilers. Not so good. So I do look forward to all. It's already ramping up. I don't know if I buy into it. The will Connor want out? Where's Leon at? What do they want to do? But I'm here for it. I'll sit down and listen to all of it if it ramps up for sure. What do you see there, Rhett? You've been a player. You've been around players your entire life. With your read on what McDavid is, what he means to that team, what he would mean for someone else, trade, all of that. Do you think, if the Oilers miss the playoffs this year, there is a legitimate chance that he says, I want out?
No, I don't think there's a legitimate chance. I think they move heaven and earth to keep him there, right? Like, they'd do everything else besides that. Now, I do think, how old is he now? 24? If it continues for another year or two, then I think, absolutely. But Holland's, how long has he been there? Last year?
A couple years.
Right? Like, it's still three, seems young in Holland's tenor running things, and he got handed a pile of garbage to kind of dig out of. Now, has he done himself any favors? No.
I think his best was probably getting Puljujarvi back, but there's been some missteps. There's been some leverage not used. There's been multi-year deals when there was no reason to do it. But it's not like there's been massive blunders. It's just a lot of little mistakes, it feels like.
Yeah. Like, even the Hyman thing, he's like, okay, I guess you need a guy to help out. But I feel like
he's not going to be there when that contract goes bad, right?
Yeah, but I just feel like you could have spent the money. Anyway, he hasn't been great. Holland hasn't been great, but there's more time to figure that out. But to answer your question, no, I don't think he's banging on the door saying, get me out of here.
Because it makes for great conversation, right, for people that hate the Oilers. They love to bring it up, but I'm kind of with you. He's got 4 more years after this year. I can't imagine that this guy goes and says, we missed the playoffs, or we're out in round one again, get me out. I don't think it happens.
What about Draisaitl?
Does it change anything if Eichel goes and wins a cup in Vegas? Where you're like, he's playing in Vegas. Asked for a trade. Won a cup. I don't know that it does. I don't know that it's Connor McDavid's makeup. I think that he's probably quite content. I mean, he's making $12.5 million. I'm sure he's catered to as much as can be possible.
And he had to know that there was a chance of this anytime you sign long-term. He signed a long-term deal to stay in Edmonton. You had to guess that maybe this was going to... It doesn't automatically happen that you win a cup. Mm. And now
it's
you're...
being competitive. It's not even cups, man.
No, you got to be in the playoffs. And I mean, if they miss the playoffs, it's going to start getting frustrated.
I
mean,
I don't know how much stock there'd be in Connor leaving, and I don't think it's his nature. Like, he just is not a guy that wants to create conflict at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if they get a call from Germany in the middle of the summer, would you? That's the more lining up with their personalities if the two guys asking, isn't it? And there's only 3 years left on Dry Settle.
Maybe they're the issue.
You know what? I get a feeling that Dry Settle's in there. I like the guy as a player. You can see that he wants to win, and you can see that he hates losing. I really don't. I think those guys realize how lucky they are to have each other when they're on the same line, when they're off the line with power play. They know that when it's good, it's so good, and it might not. They will never have that. Where's Draisaitl going to go and play with another guy that skilled? Nowhere.
Left. He wasn't enamored with playing with Kane.
I want to talk more to actually about McDavid and as good how great he is. But who's taught that kid to be a captain? Who's taught that kid?
Taylor Hall.
Who's been around on this Edmonton Oilers squad since McDavid has come into the league and shown him how to be a leader and what it takes to win in the NHL? I'm not questioning his abilities. No one can. But there's a different. Everyone always goes to Stevie Y, and for good reason. He 100 points a year, couldn't make the playoffs, didn't win. All of a sudden, maybe you got to change things. Now, I don't think you're trying to say, hey, McDavid, shut guys down. But maybe there is a missing piece to his game, and it's called real leadership, and no one's taught him that.
Well, didn't they have Gretzky on the payroll for like over $1 million a year to hang out with Connor?
To that? It's so you need a guy in the room. It's great to have those guys. I think it's awesome to have those guys for players to talk to and bounce ideas off. And I think that in Calgary, they don't do a good enough job of surrounding. St. Louis, they bounce ideas off alumni guys. Hey, what do you guys think about this? Because there's a lot of value to that. But I think for me, you got to have a guy in the room. It's too late now. He's 25. They needed a guy in the room showing them this is how. And this is what. It's not just points. And again, people are questioning. No one's taught the guy. Who's been there? Eberle, Hall. I mean, they've had it's been well known that the room has been garbage for a long time.
And right or wrong, when things go south, he is blamed for it a lot of the time.
I think a lot of it's wrong. Like, I think it's what's been around him. Like, who have they given?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Who have they given to him? As
Derek
like
Ryan can't show Connor McDavid how to be a leader.
Now, I was looking at that the other day. So who are the veterans right now? It's Duncan Keith, and we asked Spectre about that yesterday. He's like, Keith's been very good, and I don't know what happens within the room. Keith's been around. I would think he would be a good buffer for Connor McDavid. But to your point, Red, he's now years into his captaincy. He's halfway through this 8-year deal, and it feels like he's been thrown the C and thrown the team. It's like, all right, you're the best player in the world.
Give her.
Go do it for us.
And, by the way, here's Evander Kane.
And that's the other thing. It's not just the draft. It feels like, has it not been, you need to draft a defenseman, they draft a forward. You need some help here. They go and get reinforcement elsewhere. I was watching that game last night, the Anaheim game, and I don't know if he's available. But we've heard rumblings out of Anaheim that maybe John Gibson, going back to last year, maybe this is a guy that's available. Because Ken Holland's already said this year, I'm not going and getting a rental, I'm not doing this. That's fine. But if there's any chance you could get a guy like John Gibson out of there, mm-hmm. what do you want? I'll give you two firsts. I'll give you whatever, because we got to win right now. Even though we're not a playoff team, we're an all-in team right now. Take the kid we just drafted in the first. Take the next first. Take whatever you want. We need a all-star goaltender, because mm-hmm. man, when you've got a good one of those, it hides a lot of warts. Get a goalie.
Oh.
Everyone gets too caught up exactly. in how sexy Hyman. Draft picks are and that. Yeah, don't spend six. Get a goalie.
Get a goalie.
So there's
overpay for
left,
a great goalie.
3 years left on Draisaitl's deal. Like, who are you going to select with where they're going to be that can help in the next 3 years? I don't have any idea why they wouldn't move a first. You have two superstars in their prime. Do what Pittsburgh does. Move your first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the thing, to clarify, I guess, Holland said he wasn't going to go and rent guys. He wasn't going to give up picks to go rent guys that would leave at the end of the year. That's fine. But you look in the East now, and there's a lot of teams that got to be looking in the mirror saying, where are we at? What are we doing? What do we got? I'm fascinated by it. I really am. And, of course, because we sit in Calgary, it's a fun exercise to go through. But Evander Kane, really? I don't get $1 million, $2 million. Well, that's fine. But is that what you need to improve your power play? Okay, go ahead. Go get him. But it just seems it's a lot easier than that. And Draisaitl knew it the other day. He just couldn't say it in a public forum. It's like, dude, our goaltending stinks. What do you want me to say? You want me to throw my goalie under the bus? Get out of here. Panthers Oilers tonight. Can't wait. Oof. Yeah? Can't wait. We'll come back. Speaking of Panthers, we'll talk to Ed Jovanovski. Former teammate of Rhett Warner. Same draft. Just one round apart. Two big
26 picks.
Two big hulking defensemen selected.
Made it as 19-year-olds playing.
That's right.
As 19-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go down memory lane with Jovo. Plus, the team is in Edmonton. He's not. See? Some guys know what they're doing. We'll come back. Jovo, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Been a lot of Florida Panther coverage on this radio this week. Flames, of course, playing the Panthers the other night. Now they're in Edmonton. Warner, a former... We've heard a lot... I don't know if we've ever talked this much Florida Panther hockey ever on the show. And we're going to continue today because it's like old friends week. Our next guest, first overall pick of the 1994 entry draft. Spent 4 seasons with the Florida Panthers out of the Windsor Spitfires. Went on to play for Vancouver Phoenix. And then Florida again. He is the one and the only Ed Jovanovski. Edward, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning.
Good to talk to you. Of course, with Rhett, we end up going down memory lane with him. We've talked about Bill Lindsay, a fitness freak this week, retro. We talked about Robert Svala drinking red wine and Coke. We've been all over the board with old Panthers teams here in Calgary. It's been a weird week.
Yeah, you know what? That was always the puzzling one for me. You know, back early on, we weren't, you know, I wasn't really sipping on red wine at 18, 19 years old, but walking back to the plane and see the Czech Mafia there in the back mixing Coke and Opus was puzzling. But hey, your old red wine spritzer.
Did you ever try it?
I've never tried it, but I mean, they swore by it. They loved it. I mean, it's to each his own, you know. But it's like going to Russia and putting mayonnaise on your steak. World championships, we're sitting in the lounge there, and guys are eating, and they're just, you know, throwing mayonnaise on top of a steak. And I'm like, what? And also, I don't know if because it was so well done, you got to throw some mayo on there. But yeah, some interesting cuisine ideas around the globe.
What was the best trip you ever did? Like hockey-wise, you're talking Russia, you obviously the Olympics, but that you were – how many Olympic teams?
Yeah, in the Olympics, you were pretty much in jail. Yeah. I would say, like, obviously the World Championships going to Innsbruck in Austria, Zurich, Switzerland, and even St. Petersburg, you know, Russia was – I think anytime you get get opportunity to kind of move around and see these places. It was always fun the first couple of weeks before the families got in town.
Get to know the boys.
Came in town, once the families came in town, no one saw each other for the remaining 2 weeks.
Yeah. Settled right in.
But yeah, some interesting spots, some sightseeing, and yeah, it was all good.
So you didn't want to come through Alberta in January? What's up? Why not? I mean, come on. Thought you were tough.
We got none of the crew traveling on this trip, you know, just, I think, precautionary things, and you get kind of an unfortunate one that, you know, you get COVID, you got to stick around, or it'd be a long drive home as you decide to get home that way. So, so everyone's doing it from the studio here.
Do you go, is the studio in the rink then, obviously?
The pre-post game intermission stuff that we do, there is a studio in the rink. When these guys are calling the game, like the Calgary game, they did it right in right off Los Olmos there in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Bally Sports Studios there that they go in there and they call the game from there.
So what'd you see the other night? It's a weird one. The Panthers, one of the top teams in the league, winning percentage, they're right at the top. And yet 5-5-5 on the road, dominant at home, 21-3. What's been happening away from Sunrise?
Yeah, it's puzzling a little bit because they're so dominant at home and their game is, I don't know if it's a psyche thing on other teams coming in knowing that it's just going to be an impossible night to grab points. It's probably a culmination of a few things. Kind of, they obviously going out to Calgary, the travel, they spent the following day like dog sledding. You know, now you're going to play Calgary, a desperate team, kind of gets on them early, and now you're chasing the game. Usually Florida gets up on teams, and they find a way to bury them early on, and, you know, in the game, and it's kind of crew sailing in. But, I don't know, just some breakdowns on the road. Obviously, you're not getting last change. You're always trying to get that matchup game figured out. You know, their goaltending – you know, last game wasn't great. Can't throw it all on night. But, you know, you look at that game, and at 2-0, at 2-1, Bennett scores, you know, kind of a bonehead penalty, you know, that made it 3-1. But the Florida Panthers are always there. It seemed to be like if they got that second goal, roles would reverse a little bit. You'd probably see Calgary a little bit on their heels. And that's when Florida has the ability to kind of really take over a game. The record on the road, like I said, it's you can't really pinpoint one thing. You just got to get that confidence kind of going on the road and find a way to, you know, to get some wins there. It's not going to get easy going into Edmonton with the turmoil kind of going on there, but you got to be able to win on the road.
Chicks dig the Panteros when they win on the road, don't they, Eddie? Isn't that what the motto used to be?
Yeah, but are you leaving your hotel room these days?
I guess maybe not.
Well, you know what? Just my conversations with a lot of the single guys now around, you know, nothing's done going out and doing the work.
No.
You know, everything's done on the phone now. Hey, you want to meet up? Yeah, sure. Let's meet here.
Yeah.
You know, so part of the fun was going out, right? Right? Like a little bit of the chase game.
Yeah, there used to be enjoyable to go talk to people. It's, you know what? We had Rob Ray on yesterday. He said the same thing because he's covering the Sabres, obviously. And he's like, these kids don't do that stuff. They're not living that way. It's not even, it's not part of the world they live in.
But. Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I played golf with Dave Bolin and Brandon Pruss yesterday. They were in town, and they were kind of talking about their doing a little bit of work with the London Knights. And it's amazing what they're saying. How, you know, it's just a different game because you really look at it, and it's a good thing because, you know, a lot of these kids, I mean, it's endless opportunities for these kids. It's definitely where the salaries are going. Ugh. You really don't want to get yourself in hot water of any sort kind of to deter anything. So I think the kids are aware about that. And then the world we live in today, right? You got to be focused on your responsibilities, and not saying you can't have fun, just have fun smart.
Yeah, it's way different. Yeah. People right. are ready to jump on you. They want to tear you down and give them a reason to critique you.
That's the unfortunate thing. Yeah.
But.
What's that, Tori?
Well, just what you're saying there. It's sad because that's just it. You go out and do something, and even if it was lighthearted and fun, people are going to criticize it and take runs at you. And try
well, it's
to...
the media guys, right? These ex-players get into the media, and then they're jealous that they're not in the league anymore, and they start ripping now today's players. It's the worst.
Is it the ex-players?
Not at all.
No, I think it's probably the guys that were...
You know, it's funny. My first year in the league, and I'm sure Red... You know, same thing. I didn't have a cell phone.
No, it was like 98.
My poor girlfriend that it was back in Windsor, I didn't talk to her for months at a time. I had no phone.
I remember, you know? Paul Laus had the AT&T, that little black phone. He's like, you should get one of these. I'm like, really? And then I had a phone and it was like, you didn't really use it. It had
no,
it.
I had the phone too. And it was the size of a brick, you know? It was, you know, listen, things have changed. I think the game has changed for the good. I mean, obviously we see product on the ice, but, you know, I'm sure, Rhett, you hear too with Calgary and me in Florida, there's always those couple throwbacks, you know, that still like to have fun, that still chug beer after on the plane, they're traveling. There's still a few of them that try to keep things light a little bit, but certainly the game has changed in for the good, like I said, for the good.
And, well, the quality of the hockey, if you go back and watch our run to the final in Florida, that's tough hockey to watch. There's a lot of grit and it's hard-nosed and sure, but the game is a little slower, a little tougher. You watch games now, these kids would be flying around us.
Well, I always use this story, and it's pretty funny. So I came back from my hip injury that was a career-ending injury, but I just wasn't ready to pack it in. You get that hero mentality, I can still play. Excuse me. So I come back and I play. And I remember, I don't know who we were playing, but it, you know, the speed was crazy. And I was defending the rush. The guy was at the blue line. I was at the face-off circles.
Good gap.
Like my gap was a zone off. I'm like, screw it, man. Just leave this to the goalie. I'm not getting beat.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can't skate in this league today, it's very evident that you're probably not going to last very long because unless you're forward, like for example, an Andrew Burnett, coach of the Panthers, who wasn't a great skater, but just had a really high hockey IQ and could score goals. But now if you look up and down the lineup, and I'm going to use the Florida Panthers as an example, every single player on that team can fly. And that's where the game is today. It's all about speed and puck possession and no more really dumping and chasing. Our top two lines here rarely dump the puck. But they're good in those gray areas where they're not turning the puck over, and that's why they score a lot, is because they have the puck a lot. And that's where the game, I think the coaches are really directing these players that have that ability, you know, to make plays when they can.
We were talking about it heading into this game. It feels like Florida is one of those teams where you start to check off on the list as a free agent, or are we going to draft him, or is he on our trade board? Can he skate? Does he have world-class speed? If he does, well, then we'll find a way to fit him in. We'll find a line or a situation where here's your role, here's what we need from you, just do what you do. what's Bill Zito like? We knew Dale Tallon very, you know, everyone knew about Dale after what happened in Chicago, winning cups there. But Zito comes in from Columbus. No one, maybe not even picked this guy out of a police lineup. What's this guy like?
Right. He's, you know what, we don't have much interaction with him. We, you know, see his, but he kind of, you know, addresses, you know, midterms for the team. But he's a good hockey mind. You know, he's an educated guy. He's an attorney. He spent time with player agents. He did his time as a assistant general manager in Columbus. I won't say like quirky guy, but he's total opposites of Dale. You know, Dale is, you know, really kind of outgoing and, you know, he's around all the time. And I think Bill is really kind of his focus is this team. This team has the ability to win. So that's where his mindset is. But he's certainly everything that he's touched with this team, with the guys he's brought in, they've all turned out excellent. And the turmoil that this team went through early on, you know, with the changing of coaches, it's been a seamless kind of, like, Bruno's kind of kept it on track, you know, and I think that's, he's got that support from Bill, where collectively everybody's pulling together. They've added some key people in the personnel department, which, you know, goes unnoticed, but probably doing a lot behind the scenes. So the team has helped, you know, gel together nicely. And a lot of that credit obviously goes to the general manager. He's done a superb job thus far.
Chatting with Ed Jovanovski, former, obviously former NHL defenseman, former great, now with the broadcast crew. You talk about Andrew Brunette. He's got to get the job now, doesn't he?
I would think so. You know, talking to the guys, they love him. You know, especially when you have former players, sometimes these guys go in a different direction. You know, you can't talk to them anymore. They kind of turn the page into that coach, you know, really kind of being a...
Oh, drives me nuts.
Yeah, right. I'm like, you were my teammate, bro. Like, yeah, like, come on, man. We
don't teammates. Talk to me like coach talk. I don't need that. Right. Even the interviews. Right. You watch guys interview Travis Green, it's like, that's not who you were. Like, you're putting on a coach face.
It. You know, like, I think the best example I have for that, who was unbelievable in my career, was Dave Tippett. I thought when times to have a good time, he would have beers with the guys and chill out. And I hear that about Cooper and Tampa. But when time to coach, you know, he's going to coach. And, you know, he's going to let you know what it is. But it's really no – and I think that's where Bruno has – you know, the attention of these guys, they really respect him for what he's done throughout his career. I mean, they respect him for the position that he's been thrown into. I saw him when this all happened. He's like, I didn't sign up for this, you know, because he was happy where he's at. He was learning under one of the best coaches in the world. But, you know, situation unfolded. It is what it is. And he gets put in that position. And he's done a marvelous job with this group.
I often wonder too, because you mentioned it, it came to my mind. Rich Bisaccia in with the LA with the Las Vegas Raiders, all the players love him, but is he the right guy? It can be tricky sometimes when the players love the guy, but does that make him the right coach at the right time? Or are we past those days where coaches can't be buddies with the players? Do you need to have that separation, or can? Like you say, can you just be one of the guys? Because it sure seems like Brind'Amour in Carolina. He's one of the guys, but when it's time to get serious, he's got that level of respect. The guy's like, okay, well, it's time to dig in now.
Well, I think that's the key point there. I think when you have the respect of your players, things will work. When you start losing respect for a guy just kind of chirping all the time and kind of losing the players' ears a little bit, things tend to unfold. And I think the names that you mentioned, I mean, you know, Roddy Brind'Amour, same thing. I mean, you hear about that Cooper and Tampa, you know, these are the stories kind of you hear around. Great guy, you know, likes to hang out with the boys once in a while, not all the time, but, you know, but when it's time to coach, he's going to do the right thing on a coaching, whether it's sitting a guy, there's no really hard feeling. It is what it is. You're in this business to win games. And if you all win collectively everybody reaps the benefits. And I think that's where, you know, that fine line comes in with coaching. But I think Bruno, going back to him, I think, the job has been good. The guys play hard. The guys play hard. They're never out of it. They always seem to there competing and playing hard for them.
Now, what do you think about Warner? Would he be able to be one of those guys? He's cutting his teeth right now doing coaching his kids, peewee hockey and that. He's behind the bench and keeping referees accountable.
Screaming at refs, 12-year-old
hockey. Right. Yeah. Do you think he has that line where go out and have some beers with the guys but yet be able to rein it in, or is it too much one way maybe?
Well, put it this way. I always said I'd be a great assistant coach. I'd be good at getting the pucks out of the corner, setting up the drills,
being that shoulder
to cry on when the guys aren't doing, playing good, pumping their tires up. And I think Rhett fits that mold. Being the head coach would be tough. Would be tough because you get your mind so into, like, answering questions at the end of the night, winning games. You know, assistants have it a little bit easier and kind of break down the film and give it to the coach and let him do his work. But, yeah, Rhett sits in that mold.
I'm watching the 1994 NHL draft. There's your brother, mom, and dad. Were you nervous or did you know you were going first?
I wasn't. It's not as clear-cut as it was, it is today. You know, from 2 years out, who the number one pick is going to be. So.
But just to, so people.
Oh, I think we maybe lost Rhett there.
They have you. Sorry. They've got you. It was you or Radek Bonk. And they had you both up on the TV screen, and it was kind of like, who's going first?
Yeah. Listen, I think I told you this story. I was interviewed by Florida, Ottawa, and Anaheim. Those were the first three picks. So I knew I wasn't slipping to four. So. Things 1, 2, or 3 was a good run from starting playing hockey at 11, and 6 years later I'm at the end of the draft. So it was still kind of everything in the whirlwind. But no, certainly I didn't know I was going to Florida. No one gave me any indication. My agent, no one said, "Hey, listen, Florida's taking you." Right to the end. So that's why you see when my name was called, it was that sigh with that nice draft suit I had on in the mullet.
That was my next question was, where did you get the suit?
The old double-breaster?
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy, that was back in the day, 94. That was in style. We went to Freed's in Windsor. It's the high-end clothing shop in Windsor, and spent $1,000 on that suit. My parents worked overtime for that one.
Oh, and folks, I miss them.
And yeah, so it's it
your brother's suit was deadly too, by the way. Let me tell you, like, that was pretty sharp.
Yeah, my brother always gets, hey, he's the better looking brother, still to this day, so he's always put together a little nicer.
So where's that suit today? If we were to go and find that draft suit, is it at a Value Village, or where are we finding that suit?
No, it's for sure Mom's got it somewhere.
Really? Mom.
Yeah.
Mom kept stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a hoarder, man. She's got all my... Like, I went back home not too long ago. I had Messier rookie cards that are in plastic. My mom still has that. I was collecting, like, some crazy stuff, But all my memorabilia, like, from the Windsor Spitfires... She's got it all shrink wrapped and stuff. And one day when the kids, my son's 15 now, and he's really, they're on YouTube all the time, and they're always searching, asking questions now. And so every time he goes back to grandma's, she takes out the stuff, and he just spends a week there looking through all the memorabilia stuff. So,
And do you puff your chest up like Warner does with this? Yeah, your old man used to be a pretty big deal,
somebody.
Yeah, not really. I mean, just dad to them, but my son thinks it's pretty cool. Hey, my dad spent a lot of years in the NHL, and him being he plays travel hockey now. They just got back from Pittsburgh. They won their tournament this past weekend, so. They're flying high. We got two big league games this weekend. I'm coaching too. I'm doing assistant.
Are you coaching with Anders Ericsson, or is it just you?
Yeah. he's the head guy. I'm on the side with work duties and everything. So, you know,
Bubba looks like he's a thousand.
The old Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, my God. I saw a picture of him around Christmas. Someone must have posted something somewhere, and my wife showed me, and I'm like, holy smokes, Bubba. You could be Santa Claus.
He got stung by a bee, and he turned a little gray.
That's you're supposed to look better when you're in the Florida weather. That was supposed to do things for you, not for Bubba.
You played, obviously, you play in Florida, and you played in a Canadian market. Like, prefer one or the other? Like, you live in Florida now. Would your kid, when you're out with your boy and you're around the rink, people know you? Is it, you know what I mean? Because in Canada, you're people still, there's.
Yeah, around the rink, definitely. I mean, people are, you know, they're hockey people. They know. But what do I prefer? I was drafted by Florida, so this is like both of us. This is all we knew, right? So I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And we had a nice little run. We drive down 95, our post on the light poles. We go to Gatsby's, Rhett, and everybody would know us. You know those days.
Yeah.
You know, we had a good time. And, but yeah, going to Vancouver, different, you know, you go to dinner, you see the phones flashing, you know, everyone wants to take a picture, you know, you can't really go out much without hearing it about the next day. So yeah, it's different in that way. What do I prefer? I rather prefer in that market where you're on your toes each and every night. You're going to get crucified if you're playing bad. So that accountability comes in.
Do you wish you stayed in Vancouver at all? Like, I know you signed free agent, correct, in Phoenix. Obviously, nice place to play, but you guys were good in Vancouver.
Yeah, it was tough leaving because we spent about 7 years there, and I just felt like anyone, you know, you feel where your market value is supposed to be, and, you know, if we're talking $1 to $2 million difference, and not about a $12 million difference, you know, the decision would have been a lot easier to stay. So when you're talking, you know, the difference of that kind of money. And listen, Phoenix had a veteran team. You know, the lineup on paper looked decent. Until Tip got in there, then kind of things straightened out a little bit in the playoffs the last few years. But certainly playing in the market in Vancouver when the sun's out, there's not a better place in North America. It's a good place to raise a family. And being back in Canada and having that, you know, sold out each and every night and playing in front of really passionate fans.
How different was it? Like, because I remember even for us, so our first few years, we were playing in downtown Miami. And you drive down day of the game, stay in the hotel, play the game, and then you drive 45 minutes back home. And you go out for supper. Like, I remember the first year that the new rink in Miami, the Sunrise. Riding a bike after the game and having Hockey Night in Canada on. And I hadn't seen Hockey Night in Canada for like 4 years. Because we were always driving back and forth. You'd leave the rink. You weren't hanging out at that dump in downtown Miami. Like, how different was it when you got back to Canada? Because that's a big change.
Well, it was great, too, with, you know, being on the West Coast in the 4 o'clock game. So you get to the rink. You're watching the early game a little bit. You're watching, you know the intermissions. Yeah, you're getting ready for our game, the late game.
That's right. That's so different too, playing East Coast or West Coast.
Yeah, but going back to kind of the Miami Arena thing, gosh, if we only knew what Miami was about, we wouldn't be driving back 45 minutes.
No.
Like, I look back now, and we certainly didn't take advantage of Miami when we were there. We were always in our cars driving home, and we go into our local watering hole here.
Yeah, but us two dopes, it's probably for the best. Right, like two dumb hicks.
Yeah, you know, so, but yeah, it's different. I mean, yeah, like the East Coast, West Coast is different. Being, having to kind of keep up with what's going on, you know, watching games. It's different. It's a different setup here, but it is what it is.
Well, your Panthers are playing the Oilers tonight, and I don't know if you can feel it down there, but it's running real hot in Edmonton right now. They've got, what, 2 wins in the last 12 or 13 games. You mentioned Dave Tippett. Is he in trouble there? Well, how's your old boy handling this? Can he get this team out of their funk?
That's a tough one. I like to see him. You know, he's a great guy, and he's a good hockey guy. It's just when you have, you know, arguably the two best players, you know, in the league, and just seem to not be able to, you know, muster up a win, especially last game. I went to bed as 3-1, turned the scores on in the morning, saw 6-4. I'm like, what happened? 5 goals in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the same story with, you know, you look at the back end and you look at their goaltending. And if you don't have any of those, it's no secret. I'm not saying something that you guys haven't heard for. You can't win in this league. And unfortunately, you know, Smitty's had a great career. You know, he's into his 40s. The other two guys are just can't get it done. You know, you got Duncan Keith on the back, who's a Hall of Famer. You know, adding some veteran presence, but overall, like you guys know, you can have all the talent in the world. You can't kind of gel together, and I don't know how Tip's going to be able to get these guys. I see tonight as a response game. I can see them coming out and really playing hard and giving their best foot forward. But I don't know. If this thing slips anymore, I would assume, like anything, there's always going to be someone that's going to be losing a job.
Good to talk to you. Retro, going to the bullpen, pulling out Ed Jovanovski. Good visit, man. Good to
I'm
catch
coming
up with
down
you
to go on a boat ride again, so get that thing gassed up.
Yeah, buddy. Anytime. Yeah. And I actually moved back onto the water, so I got my boat in my backyard now, so we're all good.
No, I can't bring my kids to your house. They already were too impressed with the other one. So if you've upgraded,
hey, listen, we got an animal farm here too, buddy, with all the 5 kids. So what's another few more, you know? So
all right. Well, thanks, pal. It's good talking to you all the time. Stay in touch.
All right, guys. Anytime.
There he is. Thanks, Ed. Ed Jovanovski, working the broadcasts for the Florida Panthers down in Sunrise. None of that sounds good if you're an Oilers fan. They'll be looking for a response game. I think they'll come out. And if you don't have goaltending or a back end, it's tough. And sometimes people lose their jobs. Yikes.
Oof.
Other than that, should be a good one.
The saving grace is that Florida hasn't been themselves on the road. Now, they haven't played on the road a bunch. They haven't been able to get into the rhythm of playing on the road. But they didn't look like the wagon at the Saddle Dome like they did at FLA Live Arena or whatever they're calling it.
Maybe a bit of a wake-up for them, though.
Yeah, well, right? It sounded like so from the coach. But again, it's not like that was the first time they stumbled on the road. Like 3 regulation wins and 15 games on the road, that's absurd. Like that's Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo bad.
Breaking, coming back, still to come. It's hour number 3. Dave Dickinson going to join us. We're going to talk some NFL football. Is he, like almost all of us, getting ready for that Sunday afternoon game, Chiefs and Bills? Can't wait. Dickinson coming up, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.